Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 400, the stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Hallelujah, praise Jehovah. O my soul, Jehovah, praise. I will sing the glorious praises of my God through all my days. And what follows, Psalter 400, the stanzas 1, 3, and 4. The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, you can find in Deuteronomy 4, the verses 14 through 31. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Deuteronomy 4, the verses 14 through 31. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that ye might do them in the land, whether ye go over to possess it. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest ye corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. And lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole heaven. But the Lord hath taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance, as ye are this day. Furthermore, the Lord was angry with me for your sakes, and sware that I should not go over Jordan, and that I should not go in unto that good land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. But I must die in this land. I must not go over Jordan, but ye shall go over and possess that good land. Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image, or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire. even a jealous God. When thou shalt beget children and children's children, and ye shall every man long in the land, and shall corrupt yourselves, and make a graven image or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God, to provoke him to anger. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that ye shall soon utterly perish from off the land, whereunto ye go over Jordan to possess it. Ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whether the Lord shall lead you. And there ye shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. When thou art in tribulations and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shall be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto thee. Thus far the reading of the Holy Scriptures. Well, let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, thy mercies have been multiplied over us and our children in this day. Thou hast graciously watched over each and every one of us, and thou hast granted the opportunity that we may come up to thy house and place ourselves under thy word and eternal testimony. And then we do well that we count all thy blessings one by one, and that we may be humbled thereunder, and to consider that thou grantest so much above most of our fellow travelers. And it is written in thy word, and who maketh thee to differ? Ah, Lord, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and yet thou showers us and our children with so many blessings. And then in this evening, then we commend unto thee the homeless, the destitute, the hungry ones, those that live in countries where there is war, with so much death and mourning and suffering, many countries where there is persecution. We remember the great multitudes that are in hospitals, upon sick and death beds, great numbers in prison, great numbers in institutions of mercy, and other places of help, many homes where there is no love, where thy word is no longer opened, the great multitudes that have departed from thy word, where in former generations the family circles have went up to thy house on thy day, but where now the day is spent as other days, no thoughts of thee, nor of their never dying soul, and our Lord, then we may still have the truth of thy holy word, where that nevertheless may still be proclaimed in its fullness. And then we humbly ask thee in this night that thou may have respect unto thy covenant, and that it may be the set time for sinners, that they may be wrought upon, that they may become thine, that they may become a missing, a sorrowing, and a seeking people, that it may please thee in this evening, that true seekers may become finders, that thou may remember thy children, that thou may lead them further in the mysteries of salvation, to be exercised with the names, the natures, the offices, states, and benefits which thy dear Son has merited in the state of his humiliation, and where thy dear Son sits at thy right hand, and from thence he is gathering, defending, preserving his church, and from whence he pours out those heavenly graces upon his people. May that take place in this evening hour. Then there shall be rejoicing with joy unspeakable, O Lord. May it please thee to grant a greater and richer outpouring of thy Spirit upon young and old. And thou hast declared in thy word that they shall fear thee as long as the sun and the moon endure throughout all generations. Then in this evening hour, then the moon may shine with its radiance, reflecting the light of the sun, that is a preaching for us and our children. Wilt thou grant exercises and a wrestling to that end for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name? To that end, do bless thy holy word in the church on the Lord's day and during the week, the catechism classes, the confession of faith class. Oh, do grant thy indispensable blessing. Do bless thy holy word in the family circles, and bless thy holy word in our Christian school. Wilt thou remember all thy servants, elders and deacons? May it please thee that the number may be increased, servants converted, called and sent by thee. Wilt thou also grant more teachers for our Christian schools? Lord, by renewal, then we commend all the needs. Do continue to provide the daily bread in the midst of the family circles. Make us more dependent upon thee that there may be those times that we may be given to see the special hand of thy divine providence we commend unto thee all the mourning ones, widowers, widows, those that have brought children and other dear ones to the cemetery. Wilt thou remember the orphans, O Lord? Do continue to uphold them all. Remember our elderly ones. Remember our Bethesda with those that may compassionately care for them. Oh, above all things, do save their never-dying souls. Remember all under the physician's care, with difficulties of the body, the weakness of the mind, secret crosses and burdens that are known perhaps only unto thee or unto a very few. May they all be sanctified. Remember those that struggle with temptations and addictions, O Lord. Wilt thou help them? Bless the family circles. May love abound. And where it is different, wilt thou grant repentance? What has been separated, bring it together. We commend unto thee the nations of the earth, also our nation. Remember the leaders federally, provincially, and locally, where we have departed so far from thy word and from thy institution, ah, Lord. Those that are striving to uphold the old biblical ways, the different organizations in many different capacities, may it be carried upon the wings of prayer, awaiting for thy divine blessing, that eyes may be opened and that the hearts may be inclined. Lord, in this evening hour, then we humbly ask thee for thy gracious help. Wilt thou grant Aaron's and hers? May there have come up to thy house those empty vessels that are so empty, with a cry and a sigh to thee, the living God, that they may be filled with thy blessings. Ah, thou hast promised in thy word that for those poor and needy ones, that there shall be food in thy house. Ah, feed them then with the bread of life. And the vessels that are so full of the world and of self-righteousness, may it please thee to use when by renewal we may gather at Mount Sinai to uncover them. Lord, remember all the hearers, grant open ears and open hearts. Grant a prayer for one another. Grant a good hour in thy house. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 260, the six stanzas. Jehovah reigns, let earth be glad, and all the isles their joy make known. With clouds and darkness he is glad, on truth and justice rest his throne. And what follows, Psalter 260, the six stanzas. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 35, the question and answers 96 through 98. Question 96. What doth God require in the second commandment? Answer, that we in no wise represent God by images, nor worship him in any other way than he has commanded in his word. Question 97. Are images then not at all to be made? Answer, God neither can nor may be represented by any means, but as to creatures, though they may be represented, yet God forbids to make or have any resemblance of them, either in order to worship them or to serve God by them. Question 98. But may not images be tolerated in the churches as books to the lady? Answer, no. For we must not pretend to be wiser than God, who will have his people taught not by dumb images, but by the lively preaching of his word. Lord's Day 35 speaks of the second commandment, how the one living God must be worshipped, with four thoughts. In the first place, a prohibited worship. Secondly, spiritual worship. Thirdly, taught worship. And fourthly, continuing worship. The second commandment, how the one living God must be worshipped. Prohibited worship, spiritual worship, taught worship, and continuing worship. Beloved congregation, the last Lord's Day evening, we have dwelt at the foot of Mount Sinai, and we have heard of the first commandment. And how has it been with that first commandment? Have you thought about it? Have you prayed about it? Maybe spoken in the family circle? And then it is possible, under the preaching of the law and in the Heidelberg Catechism, it is in the context of that true gratitude which Christ has merited for his church, but the law comes to each and every one of us. And then there can be the danger that we think to ourselves, I have already heard the first commandment, guilty, it is hopeless, and that we become discouraged. But congregation, is that a solution? Because the law, the requirement concerning the covenant of works, has been annulled with respecting to justify, but the demand of the covenant of works that still stands. When Adam has broken that covenant, then the Lord did not change the requirements. He did not change his law. And that the Lord said to Adam, now I shall be more lenient. No, the law still stands. And that law needs to be perfectly kept. And to that end, have you heard it out of Deuteronomy 4? Moses has spoken to the children of Israel in the plains of Moab, the first three chapters. He has recited what the Lord all has done. And then he has spoken of image worship. But then he has instructed the children of Israel, listen, but if thou thence, if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul, that comes to each boy and girl, each man and woman. If from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. That exhortation that comes to each and every one. And then the Lord calls in this evening through his word. Also, when we hear the holy law of God explained and how guilty we are, that we are called upon to seek the Lord. And the Lord has said, if we seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And then I hear some say, because we like to excuse ourselves, and we do not want to be so guilty, but that I cannot do. Then I would say, congregation, make a beginning in trying to seek the Lord, and then it shall be experienced that you need the Lord. And then the Lord is even added, when thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shall be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God. This congregation, for transgressors of the law. Then Moses, in the name of the Lord, the plains of Moab, has said to that people that the Lord is a merciful God, mercy for the chiefest of sinners. May it be our prayer, under the preaching of the law, that the Lord may use it by his Spirit to shoot an arrow into our hearts for uncovering. And in the way of examination, in the way of gratitude, that there may be souls that may be given to flee to that fountain of blood, which has been opened for the inhabitants of Jerusalem and for the house of David. When we consider the law of God, then we must realize each transgression is a transgression before the Lord. recorded in his book that needs to be forgiven. But there is a difference whether we willfully, knowingly transgress under the proclamation of God's word, or when it is an ignorance, and concerning that ignorance, then it is not what we know, what we could have known. And when it concerns the infirmities, the second commandment, the first commandment that speaks of whom we must worship, and that is the one true God only, that there may be no other and no false gods. But the second commandment that speaks how the true, one living God must and ought to be worshipped. The Roman Catholic Church, they have a different division of the law than we do. They have three commandments on the first table and seven commandments on the second. And it is true. In the Bible, we cannot find that it is written 4 and 6. But it is clear the division of 4 and 6. The first concerning God, and the last 6 concerning our neighbor. The Roman Catholic Church, they shall tell us the same things. What have they done? They have combined the first and the second to camouflage their image worship, that the second commandment that refers to the worshiping of false gods. But it is clear in the scriptures that there is a difference between the first and the second. And then for the Roman Catholic Church, to still have 10 commandments, they have divided the 10th into 2 commandments. But they run stuck, because when we read the 10 commandments in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5, then there is a different order. And now our first thought, that is prohibited worship, that we may not worship the Lord through an image. Because also, if we would visit heathens, where the word of God has never come, and we would see that people bowing before a stone or before a tree, then at least the wiser heathens, they would tell us that that stone is not God, but that they worship their God through that stone. The Roman Catholics, they shall tell us the same thing. As so it was with the children of Israel in Exodus 32. When they have come out of the land of Egypt, that Moses has went up on the mount, they could not see the Lord, and they had a desire that they may have a God, something, a medium, through whom they may worship the living God. And so, a golden calf was erected, and then they have cried out, "These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." And that golden calf has not come out of Egypt. They have made it after they have been delivered, and then they have made it into a religious worship service, an altar, sacrifices were brought. Thus the children of Israel were not saying that that golden calf was God, but through that golden calf, they wanted to worship the Lord. The same with Jeroboam in 1 Kings 12. For a Jeroboam, he was afraid that people would go to Jerusalem and that they would live in the two tribes. So he has made the golden calves in Bethel and Dan. And then it was exclaimed, "Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." That's the same, to worship the Lord through something they could see. Then our instructors concerning God, representing him by an image, then he cannot and he may not. Because God is a spirit, as I read in John 4, verse 24, he is incomprehensible. Elihu has said to Job, "God is great, and we know him not." We read in Isaiah 40, verse 10, "To whom will ye then liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare to him?" To that end, pictures of Jesus may never be drawn. In the first place, there is no one what he looked like. In the second place, Jesus was not only human, he was also divine. And when we draw a picture, then we are separating the two natures. Likewise, the Holy Spirit, he may not be represented, it is true, with the baptism of Christ. He descended in the likeness of a dove, but may not be represented by a dove. But not only cannot, but he may not. That is forbidden by the Lord in this commandment. That does not mean that pictures and images and drawings may not be made. Have the examples in the temple, cherubims upon the mercy seat, upon the curtains. Solomon had lions on each side, six steps of his throne. Thus we may draw pictures and images, but in the confines, what is commanded and what is forbidden in God's word. But we may never make an image to worship God thereby. Thus far, congregation, I think that we are quite comfortable, and that with the first point, that we may be spared a blessing. We are not Roman Catholic. We are not a heathen. We do not make an image trying to represent God. We do not have a golden calf or something else through whom we worship the Lord. But now we must go further. We may not only have an image to represent or to worship the Lord thereby, but then let us ask each other, how is it now with our worship? Do we perhaps represent an image in our worship? an image is cold, unfeeling, no emotions, does not hear, does not have a heart, does not live. Is that perhaps our picture? That oftentimes we have to tell the Lord, Lord, I am just like an image, just as cold and lifeless as the bench that I sit on. Has that ever become our sorrow? And that it brings us in our inner chamber and say, Lord. And that is not only in beginning when the Lord works, but when the Lord has worked, then that heart of flesh which they have received of the Lord, that is much trouble with that stony heart. And now the question is, when we worship, when we bow our knees, what kind of image of God do we have in our minds and in our hearts? Do we have a God that is omnipresent, omniscient, that sees everything we do, boys and girls, even no parents, no teachers? Or do we say it reverently, do we have a God without eyes, that we can sense so easy, no sorrow, no impression of the Lord's holiness, the Lord's justice? How is it with those attributes? Do we bow before a God that is only just and righteous? And also for fathers and mothers, how do we speak of the Lord? Do we speak of all the Lord's attributes? Or do we stress some attributes above others? It is true, when it may be experienced, the Lord's attributes in a special way, then they receive more value. But to place a God before our children, as he is declared in God's holy word, thus a God only of justice, only of mercy. In the Bible, he is a God of both, so just that he cannot overlook one of our sins, but God is also merciful through his beloved Son. Thus this commandment, how the Lord is to be worshipped, and then when we approach unto the Lord, are we clothed with that reverence, with that humility? Is the Lord a God of all power? When there are impossibilities, thus this commandment also addresses the great sin. It is the greatest sin of unbelief. If we think of Moses in Numbers 11, then the children of Israel, they desired flesh. And the Lord has promised that the Lord would liberally supply. And then Moses, he has told the Lord, Lord, do all the cattle need to be slain? All the fish is caught in the Red Sea. And then the Lord has spoken those wonderful words to Moses. Is the hand of the Lord shortened? Thou shalt see whether my word shall come to pass or not. Concerning our worship, when we come with our works, with our merits, outside of the precious Jesus, then the Lord is not worshipped as he has commanded in his holy word. The Lord has given many examples of how we ought to be worshipped. And the Lord has a people that needs to pray and beg continually that the Lord may grant his spirit filled with that awe, with that reverence, with love, with faith. Then we could ask our young people and our children, when you bow your knees tonight, then what kind of a God do you worship? Is it a God that is a very hard master? A God that forbids everything, that you may not do anything? A God that makes life so difficult, that does not allow you to go into the world? Or are there times, young people, that you may have an impression that the Lord is good and merciful, that his laws, that they are perfect and wise, and with a walking in his ways, that you shall be blessed? Oh, when we think of David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, when by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he has penned many a psalm which declare the true worship of the living God. What a comfort the psalms have been through the ages and still are concerning that worship, for instruction, for comfort, and for encouragement. Oh, in the New Testament, what beautiful examples we have of that true worship. The publican in the back of the temple, smiting upon his breast, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. We have the centurion in Luke 7, where he was given to declare that he was not worthy that the Lord would come under his roof. In Matthew 15, we have the Canaanitish woman, and that has come with a desperate case, and that was given to plead what Jesus had spoken concerning those little dogs under the table. In Luke 7, we have a woman who was a sinner, a transgressor of the law, and then she has come into the house of Simon the Pharisee, where Jesus was. She has come in silently. She has shed those sweet tears, washed the feet of Jesus, dried them with her long hair, and then she was given to anoint him. the second commandment, how we must worship the Lord, young and old. How is it with that worship? Has that, by the grace of God, has that become our delight? Has that become our desire? And to experience the special tokens of the Lord's favor, or is it a burden, our religious duties? Is it a weariness? Does not mean that there are not times that there is the tiredness of the body. We are not angels. Nevertheless, the Lord has a people, their desire to worship and to bow, to glorify and obey the living God. Let us first sing Psalter 435, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. My soul with holy awe remember the Lord in brightest majesty. At Horeb's mount gave there his statutes and spake these words to hear and see. And what follows, 435, the first three stanzas. the second commandment, how the one living God must be worshipped, prohibited worship, spiritual worship, and now thirdly, taught worship. But may not images be tolerated in the churches as books to the lady. And that word lady, boys and girls, that means the members. No, for we must not pretend to be wiser than God, who will have us people taught not by dumb images, but by the lively preaching of his word. And that lively preaching, that includes the means of grace, and then it is also a blessing and a privilege when there may be lively hearers. It was a strife in the time of the Reformation where the church has strayed so far from what is written in God's word. Martin Luther, a first-generation reformer, he has stated that as long as it is not forbidden in God's word. But John Calvin, and we are Calvinists, then he has stressed what takes place in the worship service and in God's house. There must be a warrant for the same in the word of God. And so much has changed in the time of the Reformation. Then the altar that was exchanged for the pulpit, that became the center of the worship service, the proclamation of God's word. The mass on the altar has been replaced by the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Choirs were replaced by congregational singing. Thus the reformers, they have stressed based upon God's holy word, that in God's house, the worship services, God and his honor with his word, also the sacraments, the singing, that must be the centerpiece of the worship service, God and his honor, and not mankind. And we live in a day where it has become so different, that man has become the center, then man seeks entertainment, many churches, entertainment and different things, we shall not multiply it out, to try to draw the people, especially the young people, that they may come to church. Many congregations have tried it. The disfavor of the Lord has rested upon it. The spirit grieved. The spirit even departed. And then the people, especially the young people, they start thinking, entertainment, that we can also find in the world. Let us remember, congregation, the Lord has said, those that honor me, I will honor. And where the simple truth may be proclaimed, where the services may be, what takes place in God's house may be according to his word, that the Lord, that there shall be a people that shall come up to God's house, hungry and thirsty, that may hear their hearts and their lives declared, and the Lord has promised his blessing. We have many warnings in the scriptures. In Leviticus 10, then we read of the two sons of Aaron that instead of taking the fire off the brazen altar of burnt offerings, they have brought strange fire before the Lord, and fire came down from heaven and consumed them. In 2 Samuel 6, David had a good desire, a precious desire, that the ark would be brought to the city of God. But he counseled with the people, and then he thought to do a different, better than the Lord has prescribed, because the Lord prescribed that the Levites must carry the ark. But David has ordered 2 wagons to be made that were pulled by oxen. We know the oxen have stumbled. Uzzah has put forth his hand. He was slain. David was displeased. The ark was taken to the house of Obed-Edom. But then we soon read that David has done it according as the Lord has prescribed. We have mentioned Jeroboam. He has used this reasoning that the people may stay in the 10 tribes and build 2 golden calves, the lively preaching. We think of the reformers, Martin Luther, in the Learning and Living magazine, the first part of a letter that Martin Luther has written to the town councils of the importance, their duty, that Christian schools may be established for the instruction of the youth. We read of John Calvin that in 1559, the University of Geneva, where young men would be trained for the ministry. And concerning the word of God, the Lord has promised to bless the means by faith, hearing cometh by faith, and faith by the word of God. Fourthly, continuing worship. Not spoken of in this Lord's Day, and in most catechisms, not mentioned so much. But we do read in the second commandment that there is an exhortation and a promise, because we read, "For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the 3rd and 4th generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." That pertains especially to the second commandment concerning the worship of family circles, pertains to all the commandments. And now the Lord has said, "I am the Lord thy God, I am a jealous God." And that jealousy, then the cause is love, and the effect is revenge. And then those solemn words, "visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the 3rd and 4th generation of them that hate me." When we speak of the 3rd and 4th generation, those are grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And then the Lord exhorts in this commandment for fathers and mothers that do not take the worship of the Lord seriously, the law of God, who despise the Lord's institutions, the lively preaching, the coming up to God's house, that he shall visit that iniquity in their children, in their grandchildren especially, the third and fourth sometimes sooner, but the third and fourth generation that is the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren. But do we not read in Ezekiel 18, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That is true. But what takes place when a father and mother do not take the worship of the Lord seriously? And the second commandment, as a general rule, that continues through the family circles, and there comes a hardening of the heart and a further departing from the Lord. And when there are among that seed, it is written in God's word, when they are given to turn and to repent, that the Lord shall remember them. Think of the children of Korah, Samuel. He was also a descendant of the children of Korah. We have solemn examples in the scriptures. Eli, who did not restrain his two sons and dispose them out of their office. The Lord has said, thy house should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me for them that honor me. I will honor those that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house. Then that priesthood that was taken from the house of Eli. In 1 Kings 14 verse 10, will bring evil upon the house of Jeroboam. His house will be cut off because of the golden calves. We read many times of Jeroboam, who made Israel to sin. We read of Ahab with the Baal worship. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee and will take away thy posterity and will make thy house like the house of Jeroboam. In 2 Kings 23 verse 26, we read of the reformation of that God-fearing King Uzziah, and the judgments would not come in his time. Notwithstanding, the Lord turned not from the fierceness of his wrath, wherewith his wrath was kindled against Judah, because of all the provocations that Manasseh has provoked him with. This congregation, fathers and mothers, is that not reason enough? You love your family. But is that not a special reason to give heed to the word of God? As family circles together around his word to sing, to pray together, and then for encouragement and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. That does not mean we can merit salvation, but what the Lord is declaring, when in the family circles, when there is respect, great respect, for his word, for his house, for the Lord's day, that the Lord shall bless those labors, and that he shall continue to remember those generations, that he shall continue to work by his Spirit for the ingathering of the church, those family circles, parents, fathers, and mothers. What reasons to be given as a family to give heed to the Word of God. And then with that exhortation, when it speaks concerning the generations, the lively preaching, then it includes the instruction for the youth. And we are privileged that we have much youth to be instructed. And then as a consistory, fathers and mothers, then we have four requests concerning catechism classes. In the first place, see to it, of course there can be lawful reasons, but that your children all faithfully attend. In the second place, fathers and mothers, that you are involved in what the children learn in catechism class. We would ask fathers and mothers this evening, can you all tell what your children are studying in catechism class? Beautiful opportunity, Sunday afternoon. Then in the third place, see to it that the children do diligence in memorizing their questions. For some it is more difficult. You realize it can be that the mind of students go blank. It's all understandable, and there are many students that do memorize well, but there are also students that come and afraid that they have not even opened their book. And quickly before they are asked, if they are short, they look at them, and then they recite them. Ought not to be. And then in the fourth place, there are students that do not behave as they ought, disrespectful, make it difficult for the instructor, and make the other students sad. Students that have a desire to listen and to learn. As fathers and mothers, four simple requests, faithful attendance, that you are involved, that you speak to your children. In the third place, memorization. And in the fourth place, behavior. And in the fifth place, that there may be prayer, that the means may be blessed, that the Lord, that nevertheless, the Lord may have respect unto his covenant, and that the simple instruction may be blessed for the upcoming generations where the Lord is promised. In Psalm 72, verse 5, they shall fear thee, as long as the sun and the moon endure throughout all generations. Oh, the second commandment, the threatening, but also the encouragement, should that not be much for family circles? And then we read, to confirm what is written in the second commandment, in Psalm 103, the verses 17 and 18. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting to them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his commandment, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. Amen. Let us close. Lord, than by renewal for a moment as a congregation, then we could dwell at the foot of Mount Sinai. And it is recorded of the children of Israel, when they have heard the law of God, that they have said unto Moses, thy spokesman, all that the Lord has commanded we will do, and we will obedient. Ah, Lord, wilt thou grant that desire in the heart of us and our children? But the children of Israel have experienced that they have soon transgressed, and that is necessary for each and every one of us, that we are transgressors, that we remain transgressors, and that room is made in the hearts and the hearts of our children for the precious sacrifice of thy dear Son. O Lord, do bless thy holy word to the hearts of young and old. We may commence another week. Ah, we humbly ask thee, may please thee, that thou mayst spare each and every one of us. Remember the mothers in the home with the children, the daytime and the night watches. Remember on the way, remember at work, remember at school. Wilt thou return the mourning family back into our midst? Lord, wilt thou provide for the coming Lord's Day? Wilt thou help the consistory? Remember all those that have an active part. Help the doorkeepers, those that lead the congregational singing, the sound, all those that may have a part. Ah, may we all be given to be a praying people, Aaron's and hers. Wilt thou grant traveling mercies and thy help when on the coming Lord's Day we hope to serve a congregation on the East Coast? Wilt thou now graciously watch over us on the unsafe roads, watch over us in this night, and pardon us of all of our sins, also of this day, also of the second commandment, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 444, the stanzas 7 and 9. Jehovah's mercy floweth like a river from everlasting and abideth ever on those that love and worship him with awe. His righteousness shall bless the habitations of children's children through the generations that keep his covenant and obey his law. And what follows, 444, the stanzas 7 and 9. save the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.